Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Infuse with Light. Today I'm super thrilled to be joined by Steve Noble, who has been a staple in my ascension journey, especially his meditations. They have kept me sane and grounded throughout. He is the author of 5 non-fiction books, and he has a fantastic free ebook entitled Starseeds, which is a fantastic resource for anyone who resonates with that term. He was a director of a not-for-profit spiritual organization called Alternatives for 13 years. And on winter solstice, very auspicious 2012, he started to do his own healing and awakening work. And the website that he now has created is called the Soul Matrix Healing for Starseeds. And it's a fantastic library full of resources, meditations, you know, and it's all free and it's on YouTube. And we will detail all that information below. And as mentioned, he's been a pivotal person and backbone to me. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi Jen, thanks for inviting me.
How's things for you? How are you going?
Well, UK's in national lockdown again for a month, and we're living by the sea, which is quite nice. Yeah. And we have everything we need, so we're quite self-contained. We have a nice kind of house, nice pad by the sea. I feel my work keeps me going. The inner planes keep me going. So, you know, even though the outer world seems to be a bit in lockdown, there's so much to explore on the inner planes that I'm not kind of bored or anything.
Yeah, that's good. So the 1111 portal we've just passed through, how have you found that?
Well, actually, the 1111 portals most years I find pretty nice, actually. This one I felt was a particularly important one. I feel it's almost like I put a YouTube meditation up called 1111 Meditation, Passing a Golden Marker. And I think this one is a golden marker. I was having some dreams over the last 10 days about the US elections. Mm. And I dreamt of Biden twice. Wow. He came to me in my dreams. And I had the strong feeling that he was going to win. And he didn't say I'm going to win, but I just had this kind of feeling he's going to win. And the second dream I had about him, and I'm not saying he's any light worker or anything like that, but I felt the planet was shifting into a higher level of light for some reason, connecting with the US elections. I just feel this period we've gone in. I mean, the Trump leaving, we'll see if he's leaving or what's happening, or Biden coming in, you know, there is a shift. I don't quite understand why there's a shift, but this 1111 marker does seem to be something important. I don't find all these portals easy, particularly the Lion's Gate in August. I find that one a really difficult one, actually. Yeah. Every year I find it difficult. And so when I put stuff out about that, it's more about grounding, connecting to the grid, getting really centered. That one, maybe it's a personal thing, but I think a few people find that one difficult. It's very, very powerful, and it just stirs the pot up quite a bit. But the 1111 one is always quite nice for me. I think it's quite a nice one. So I don't know. That's just my personal experience. But I put out this video on the just before the 1111, because some people are already passing into the 11th gateway, you know, with the time zones. It's had 27,000 plays in one day. I think it's been the most popular thing I've ever put out there. Yeah, I looked at it this morning, I thought 27,000 in
amazing.
One day.
It's good. Powerful. I think a lot of people are sort of shifting and becoming aware of it and becoming energy sensitive and sort of really searching and seeking for those who can direct them and assist them with what's going on and trying to make sense on a different level, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. And I didn't realize, I mean, at the beginning I thought, oh, it's nice putting out all these videos and meditations that help people. But what I now realize is that there's a group forming around them. So there's like 108,000 following the YouTube. So this group of starseeds forming is creating powerful waves when they do it together, you know, or even within a similar period of time, it creates a powerful wave. So whatever's going on in the outer world, actually all these magicians, because I think starseeds are kind of creators, magicians, coming together is so powerful. And of course, it's not what the some beings on the planet want, but this is the mission, to bring everyone together. And I'm the kind of conductor of the orchestra in a way. I'm here waving my little baton and everyone's going, yay, okay, we like this one, let's do it.
Yeah.
And so I think that's my role at the moment. I'm kind of like the orchestra leader, and putting out stuff which is really helping to focus the powerful energies of this group of starseeds on the planet right now. I mean, I've reached 100 plus thousand, but there's so many more. You know, there must be a few million at least. Well, yeah. Quite a few million actually on the planet now, I believe. So if I could reach all of those, that would be great.
Well, hopefully this helps, because I'm certainly one and I resonate with it, and I've got a lot of and it's interesting now, I'm meeting more and more people who are like galactic, and because I speak light language, they're kind of resonating with that, and it's not such a weird thing. It's kind of like, oh yeah, that kind of makes sense on, or has some resonance on some level, maybe not, you know, in the neurological sense, but definitely on the energetic sense, which is positive for me. And something that I wanted you to go into for those who perhaps, I mean, the term starseed does get kind of thrown around there a little bit out there in spiritual land, so I would love your definition of it. And then you talk a lot about how starseeds, and not just starseeds, but a lot of light workers, or how we're shifting to this 5D paradigm of existence.
Well, I have to say that, so I came across the term starseed because I've been exploring all kinds of things for a few years, and light body awakening, quite out there stuff. And I came across the books of this channel called Ra, The Law of One. And the channel was the 1960s, I think, or 70s, I can't remember. And I actually met the channel when she came over to England for a conference, and we had a nice cup of tea together. And in that book, I remember Ra talking about starseeds as wanderer souls, and Ra talking about the ascension process in terms of, he called it in terms of harvesting, that there comes a point of harvesting of souls where it's, at a certain point in the ascension process, there's almost like, well, you lot go that way and you lot go that way. There's almost like a parting of the ways. Mm-hmm. So that people in the, what I would call the 3D matrix evolutionary cycle, which is 3D is how the world's been for a long time. 3D is us against them. It's empire building, it's slavery, it's domination, it's the pyramid of who's above who. You know, it's, if you read the newspapers in Australia and Britain and America, that's 3D, because most newspapers are very 3D. They're the extreme versions of it, telling you all who's to blame, what's wrong, and all the rest of it. So 4D, which is between, of course, 5D and 3D, is where there's a shift, there's awakening happening. People start waking up to energy, to start waking up to, well, maybe I've lived more than one lifetime. Maybe I'm not my body. Maybe I'm more than my mind. Maybe I create my own reality. You know, all these possibilities. It's this zone of possibility, really. It's also a zone of conflict, whereas it's, you could call it the real zone of light versus dark. Because when you're in 3D, you're immersed in, you could say, a low frequency. You're in the darkness, really. Mm. You know, in 3D, your boss creates your reality, your mother creates your reality, your government creates your reality. In 4D, you wake up and go, oh, well, maybe I'm more powerful than I first thought. Maybe I create it, or my personal reality, and I can actually let go of all these external forces that seem to have some influence over me. But it is a battle of light and dark in a way, and that battle is internal between the higher self and the ego. And the ego doesn't like awakening very much because it doesn't understand it.
Yeah.
You know, it goes, well, ego is about it's our personality protection to get us through 3D. You know, 3D is a difficult zone. So we create this protection around us, which I'm tough, or I'm a rebel, or I'm withdrawn and invisible, or however we deal with life. That's our ego personality. When we hit awakening, the personality can't help us because it doesn't know what this path's about. It doesn't know what awakening is. And so it doesn't trust it. So it tries to block it. It tries to fight it. It tries to tell us, no, 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 you're crazy. You know, we have the conversations in our head. And so in the 4D, we're aware of the higher consciousness. We start to feel as a higher force. We start to feel these waves of bliss. We start to feel peace. In meditation, we start to feel this deep silence. We start to connect the higher wisdom. But we're also more aware of our lower nature, our ego going, no, 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 don't be crazy. Don't do it. Don't give up that marriage. Don't leave that job, that corporate job. All of this starts happening. And it's very confusing. You know, and what happens is that people may go on the weekend workshop and be in bliss and then come back to their corporate job and being the angst of it. And so this kind of up and down, this roller coaster is all 4D. And there are layers of 4D that we start to master the lessons and activate our gifts. And in 5D, we stabilize in our ego is kind of surrendered more to the higher self. And it kind of gives up the battle. It goes, oh, okay, well, it seems to be all right, this path. We'll just surrender and we'll have more love and we'll embrace more love and gratitude and all these things. So the ego becomes nicer and becomes softer because in 4D it can become quite hard. It becomes an opponent, but the opponent eventually gives up the fight and becomes one. That's the aim, that the higher self and the ego have to become together on this, because we need a personality. Even in 5D, it's a different one. But we can't just go around like a robot going, you know, we need some form of personality. But it's a surrendered one. So starseeds in this whole process of the shift on the planet, because the planet is shifting from, the planet is now in, well, it's passing through 4D, the planet, but some parts of the planet are still just leaving 3D. There are spots on the planet which are still very 3D. If you go to them, you can feel very heavy energies. But most of the planet shifted into 4D, or the lower bands of 4D. Some are in higher bands of 4D. There are some spots on the planet which are touching 5D. And there are some spots on the planet which always had a kind of higher energy. They managed to kind of keep away. There were sacred spots around which managed to kind of have a higher energy. Not very many. Starseeds are here on the planet to help with the shift from 3D to 5D. Starseeds are wanderer souls. Ra, the channel, called them wanderer souls. And they're wanderer souls in the fact that most people on the Earth who are not starseeds have been incarnating in this place here on the Earth over and over again. And so if you speak to the non-starseeds about ascension, angels, energy, they'll look at you going, what? Yep. You know, they've been through the wars, the battles, the slavery, and they just kind of go, are you in cuckoo land? You know, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But for starseeds who've been in other realms, have been in places where higher realities exist, where 5D and more exist, there's an innate sense in starseeds of there's something wrong with this world. There's something not right with it. This world could be so different. They see possibility. They may not be able to articulate it, but when we're born, we get a sense, what's wrong with the world? We may not be able to put it in those terms until we start really waking up. But I remember hearing John Lennon give a talk on some chat show, and he said that the world is run by insane people for insane purposes. And I remember listening to that thinking, why would he say such a thing? Surely the governments are looking after us. And, you know, I was kind of a young kid listening to that. But now I realize that he was absolutely right, that the world is run for insane purposes by a small group of people pulling all the strings. I'm not suggesting everyone in politics is insane, but the real people pulling the strings are not sane by starseed standards.
Nope.
So starseeds have a higher energy. They're a different, you could say their energy field is very different. There's a greater potential for more light in it. When they really awaken, they become these blazing light fields, which is very uncomfortable for 3D people because they don't really like it.
No.
So if you're a 5D starseed awakening in a corporate world, you'll find that you'll be ejected quickly. Somehow you'll find that they'll kick you out. If you're an awakened starseed in a 3D family, you'll find that your family will start shunning you or not liking you even more. You can't even hang out with them very much. I mean, of course, you could be a starseed in a 3D family that do love you, but they will not understand you. So that can happen, that they can still love you, but they will just not get you. They will not. Yep. You'll be the black sheep or the rainbow sheep, yep, of the family. You know,
rainbow sheep. I love that.
Yeah, we're the rainbow, yeah, sheep. Yeah, sensitivity.
Yeah, and I was just going to say my sensitivity as I'm going through this journey. It's just getting like even noise, lights. I've always been light sensitive, and it's just getting worse. So I now have to wear these like super polarized glasses when I go in the ocean because I love the water, but I can't deal with light that much anymore.
Yeah, it's common. It's common. Yeah. Sensitivity. So now I used to be able to deal with the city a lot more. I can't deal with the city so much now. So we've retreated by the seaside, which is much easier. And it's a very alternative place where we're living, so it's nice. But the sea is really nice. I feel I'm desiring less crowds and more nature,
yeah,
which is kind of common for starseeds. Sensitivity is a double-edged sword because sensitivity is wonderful for intuition and feeling stuff, but also being overwhelmed and absorbing energy is a problem. Yeah, it's exhausting.
I find it very. And I think a lot of people think, oh, that it's by choice. It's like, no, it's I don't feel like I have a choice in it. Like, you could do all the cognitive work under the sun to redirect, but it's overwhelming, and it's a force greater than you. So if anyone who is listening, that is one of the struggles of trying to integrate. Well, for me personally.
Yeah. Well, energetic boundaries is a very important one for starseeds, or developing them, having strong boundaries, because naturally starseeds are very open, very kind of galactic. Let's have our energy out here. But I think we definitely need to learn how to pull our energy back in. At times, we can expand our energy easily, but pulling it back in, most starts here goes, what? Pulling it back in? But you can actually, you can actually pull it back in, so it's very tight. So if you walk into a room, people won't feel you. Whereas most people, if your energy is out here, you walk into a room, they will feel you. But if you want to be hidden, and sometimes it's good to be hidden, you can actually pull your energy back in to a tight egg. Of course, if you're driving or cycling on the motorway or on the road, you don't want to pull your energy in. You want it to be blazing out, this everyone feels you. So you want people to know you're there.
Yes, stay out of my bubble.
Yeah. Or if you're at a party, you may want your energy out there so people feel you. I don't know. But it's a technique that starseeds need to learn about adjusting their energy. I put out a lot of meditations around protecting and clearing the energy field, because releasing energy is one of the most important things for starseeds. We take on too much from the 3D matrix. We take on other people's thinking and emotional energy, and purging it or extracting it and finding who we are, because we'll feel confused if we're taking on other people's energy. And no amount of counseling or psychotherapy will help, because we're actually processing other people's energy, which is confusing. So we just have to get rid of it.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I've got a lot of spiritual practitioners, and we were saying how there needs to be new modalities for sort of starseeds, for that mental aspect, that component, to understand what we're going through, to be more compassionate, because I have been someone who has gone through the mental health system, and it just doesn't work. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm an empath and I'm sensitive and I'm highly galactic and, all my gifts and things are coming on, but the human of that in my little meat suit, it's hard sometimes to process. So finding the right people, and that's where I think your tools have been so useful. So I'm really going to keep encouraging people to go there, because you can do it privately, you can do it, in your own time and space, and then it can give you sort of a springboard to know what you need to work on and the people that you might need to seek out to help with that.
Well, I went through depression, and I attempted to leave the planet after my first Saturn return. And that sent me into 10 years of psychotherapy, which was so slow and laborious, but it was helpful, at the time.
Yeah, it has its place.
It's talk therapy, but I think what's missing is the energetic component and the somatic component. So what I try to do in sessions with people, and also in my YouTube offerings, is it's an energetic offering that connects us to the body. And I also want to know, like the using the breath, the breathing in light, releasing on the out breath. The body is so key. We're in the body. It's our magic wand. And a lot of people do visualization techniques that forget the body. Visualize a unicorn and jump on the unicorn's back and go off for a gallop. But actually, the body is where we're holding energy. So I do start off with the body and connecting with, magically connecting with all the archangels as directions to create a safe space, an energetic space. And then, there's a talking, there's a, I'm encouraging people by talking to release and open up, so there's my voice doing that kind of thing that people can listen and go, oh yeah, okay, we can do that. We can open the heart and release betrayal and or whatever's going on in the meditation. So the meditations have components of energy, talking, guiding, and somatic, the body, what's going on in the body, which I think this is what psychotherapy misses. They don't really connect with, it's all cerebral and, but what's going on in your body right now?
Yeah, you don't
as we talk about that.
Get to like sink it, like, and that's it. And I suffer from migraines and headaches, I'm sure, because I'm trying to process all these energetic happenings in my head, and that's not possible. Like, yes, I get my downloads and intuitive hits, and that seems to be my point of access. But in terms of dealing with trauma and grief and ancestral goop that I have to clear, I didn't realize, like, I don't know where I'm holding that. It took me a really long, and I'm still learning where I'm holding it and how to get rid of that. So it's a learning process, that's for sure.
Well, the ancestral goop, most psychotherapists and counseling don't touch on, you know, they don't really go, they might talk about, well, what's your relationship with your mother like, but that's about, or your father, but they don't go any further usually.
What about your galactic mother? They don't go into that, do they?
No.
They don't go into your Arcturian parents.
And they don't touch other lifetime stuff either, which is also, of course, we don't want to dive into that too early, but if it comes up, most psychotherapists would look at it as a metaphor, an interesting one, like a dream or something, rather than a real experience. But starseeds, they are, when you start awakening up, galactic, the other lifetime stuff becomes more real, both in terms of the gifts and the problem, the trauma, and the ancestral goop, it becomes more real. You know, I'm like, because we're growing up in it, we're just like a goldfish in a fishbowl. We're just used to it. But when we start waking up, it's like, what is this? What is this stuff on the mother line? What does it mean? I did one ayahuasca journey, for example. I've not done many, I've only done two, but on one of them, I purged 5 hours of war from my grandfather on my mother's side. It was just like I was in the war releasing all this energy in my body that I was carrying for him. I actually looked like him, my mother's father. And I realized I'm carrying for the bloodline all this war energy. And, you know, in Britain, we have all this kind of military history, you know, that goes back. Both my grandfathers were in the First World War, and of course they all went through the Second World War in various ways. So releasing war in my field was really, and when I was a kid, I was actually into painting model armies and model airplanes. Like, you know, I was really into war, but not because I liked the bloodshed of it, but I was trying to heal something and I didn't know how to heal it. And of course, painting model armies is not really going to help me heal it. But I tried my best.
I mean, I'd love to know your thoughts on this. I'm finding quantum healing therapy is kind of the way to go in terms of helping me piece things together. And perhaps it kind of taps into a different energetic aspect of myself. I'm not quite there yet. So I've been having a lot of BQH sessions and I have an amazing practitioner and she's fantastic. And I wanted to know your thoughts on maybe like what type of healing modalities do you think are sort of going to become the new norm, or that we can move away from the psychology that route?
Yeah. What is BQH? I don't know what that
is. Beyond quantum healing. Sorry.
Beyond quantum healing. Oh, I don't know. Okay. There's so many quantum healing or energy healing tools there now. So in my, I don't know, I've come across, I've done a lot of light body. I did light body work over in America with these channels, Orin and Darben, which is brilliant. The light body was a fantastic thing. Mm. I did a lot of their kind of work with them, waking up intuition and all kinds of stuff with them. I've done light body surgery. I trained for a year and a half in light body surgery, which is brilliant, like how to take out stuff in people's bodies and all of that stuff. And it was so out there. And I learned so much from it. I've done one tool that which I really like is called spiritual response therapy, which works with pendulums and charts. So I've got I designed my own chart. There's my own chart.
I was going to say, I've got a pendulum here. I broke it today.
You broke it. Oh, no.
Asking it too many questions, I think.
I've got all kinds of charts with numbers on and kind of various things on. And so spiritual response therapy was really brilliant for accessing the Akashic records and clearing stuff. Not just a lot of people going to the Akashic records to go, was I Cleopatra or something? But it's... The point of it is there any problem there that needs to be released? And of course, we have layers of problems.
Yeah.
And I've trained in I've trained in a lot of the kind of energy tool stuff, you know, and then I trained in NLP coaching and conversational hypnotherapy, which is brilliant because language is a way of accessing energy as well. So I like language, it's really helped me with the meditations, like using language as a way of opening people's energy field up. But I think I found there's a way of combining the two. I kind of had this intuition. There's a way of combining all this energy work with all this like NLP coaching and all of that stuff and hypnotherapy or trance therapy. And slowly, bit by bit, the guides have showed me how to weave these energies together. So I'm weaving them, and the meditations are great because I'm using talking and I'm weaving, opening the chakras and calling the angels. So I'm finding ways all the time of how these, all these different methods weave together. But I think for the future, the medicine of the future is, this is one way of the future, but I think things like sound and music and light language is part of the healing of the future, actually. And yeah. I think that color is for me also another healing tool for the future. Yeah. And I think where they combine sound and color coming together, I've got a color therapy torch somewhere where it's got all these different colored lights that you can put on acupuncture points in the body.
That's amazing. I've never heard of that before. A color therapy.
Yeah, color puncture, I think they call it, which is
brilliant. Oh, wow.
And then I've got a whole library of just amazing music that I listen to. That if I'm feeling a bit blah, I might do a clearing, or I might just put on some music, which just takes me into something.
Well, the frequencies. Frequencies, and
binaural, yeah. And solfeggio. I've got a whole load of that. I think, very simply, a very simple way of healing is just laying in an Epsom salt bath, you know, or go and lay in the sea or something, or go and sit under a tree in nature. They're kind of quantum healings of themselves.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be this. I get a lot of healing from trees, and I'm a big tree hugger, but I will often transmute and ask them to take it, but also, you know, send energy and love to it. And also sometimes I'll ask them, can they give me a little boost? Like, can you give me a little healing today? And I love visiting trees all around the world. It's one of my things. And I also find, I recently was talking about grounding up, because I am so galactic. For me, meditate, like just laying under the stars is possibly one of the best things for me, laying in the ocean and also the Epsom salt. So just those simple things. I think it can be really easy when you're vulnerable and exposed to this journey to panic, and you can spend a fortune trying to get people and answers and help. But, you know, I think it's all about balance, and I'm definitely for exploring, because that's how we learn about what resonates for us. But there are definitely modalities that don't cost a thing, because we're provided for by what's on this planet.
Absolutely. Well, I talk to trees all the time. They don't all talk back, but occasionally I get one that does talk back, and I go and visit it and have a chat with it. So in the lockdown, I was staying with my daughter, and I used to go for runs in the morning. And then I found this cherry blossom tree, I think a cherry tree, and it started to talk to me. And I used to go and visit it every day. And I remember when I used to take my grandkids, I've got three grandchildren, and they're 11, 10 and 2. And when the 11-year-old were younger, like 5, I used to go out and I used to talk to trees with them. And they said, the 5-year-old said to me, "Granddad, is this for real? Like you talking to a tree?" And I said, "Of course it is. What do they teach you in school?" And she said, "Not that."
Oh, the trees. I know. And this is the thing. And that's the other thing too. I always think about education, how that needs to shift as a whole other topic. But, you know, I am such a big fan of, like, let's get out into nature more, and let's not learn about, you know, mundane, repetitive, outdated things that aren't so relevant to what's happening now necessarily. So
I'm excited
and curious to see how that shapes over the
It'd be interesting to see how education shifts. I think there are some shifts in education. You know, we've had, you know, think, I suppose, I don't know much about Montessori or the Steiner. I think Steiner sounds very creative, but
tactile and aesthetic and
you know, I went through 3D education, which I kind of was okay with, because I kind of like learning. But at a certain point, I just realized I'm just being stuffed with facts. And I kind of got a bit confused, especially doing my A-levels or end of secondary school before university. I was like, I don't even know what I want to do with all this stuff. So I dropped out.
Yeah, I just kind of ended up doing media because I was good at English and I did that. But then I found myself in the psychology department of the university library all the time, because I was more interested in understanding, like, what was happening. I mean, I had no awareness really, but I was experiencing a lot of internal sort of chaos and shifts. So I'd just go and plonk myself and try and work out what was happening and look at, like, all the diagnostic criteria. And, like, I was trying to work out what was going on at a very early age.
I worked in a psychotherapy and counseling school, teaching psychotherapy and counselors for a while. And I used to sit with the people teaching. These are PhD level, you know, people. And I thought some of them are seriously twisted, you know, and seriously weird. You know, I remember being at Christmas, having a Christmas party with these guys, and the kind of jokes they were telling were kind of a bit sick. I said, that's a bit sick, really, you know. And I think that's just the way some of these people cope with hearing all the stuff all the time. So I think, you know, all of that stuff has to shift. Psychology has to shift. It's very left brain. My brother took a psychology degree and an MA in psychology, and we chatted a bit about his studies. And I was like, oh my God, it's so dull what you were doing. It had a scientific base. You know, it's like, I couldn't do that. I love psychology, but not that. I want something that actually works on transforming the self. You know, I'm interested in transformation. I'm not interested in just theories. Yeah. Does it work or not? Yeah. That's the important thing.
Can that help me? Does it? Because, and that's one of my struggles that I had with counseling, was just, it kept me stuck. I didn't progress. And in a way, I felt like that was part of that matrix of keeping you in that loop of your ego. And I was like, this isn't serving me anymore.
Yeah. I think there is a benefit in it up to a point. Like the typical counseling method is, so tell me how you feel about that. You know, how you feel about that, or what do you think or feel about that? And up to a point, it's useful because you might not know what you think and feel about that. You go, oh, now I know. But after a while, it kind of keeps you, we don't need to know what we think about that anymore. We need to know, well, what do we want to go beyond that? How do we go beyond all that stuff, the story, you know? And I think that's where it's a bit slow. You know, I was 10 years in psychotherapy, and it was very slow. And then I started on this journey, and everything sped up like 100-fold. And actually the psychotherapy group I was in got really offended that I started to embrace spirituality. They thought I was kind of, it's almost like I was betraying them. And it was really weird.
Going to the other side.
So I got thrown out. My light started increasing and they threw me out the group. They were like, well, why don't you leave now then? That was, they're kind of like, they almost threw me out. And so I said, all right, then I'll leave. You know,
wow, that's so crazy.
We have to get used to being thrown out of groups.
Yeah, I'd like to go back to light language, because that's something that, so I channel it all the time. Like, and it's much easier for me to speak in light language than in English these days. But I'm getting a lot of, and I think a lot of people who perhaps are experiencing light language, so mine's becoming very surgical in nature, and I'll often have dreams where I'm being taught things. Like, it's like I'm at like some university of one of my incarnated home planets, and I wake up with all this incredible information that I couldn't possibly have. Like, I'm terrible at science and maths, but I'll wake up and I'll be having information about tetrahydrons and like particular biotech, and I'm just like, what is happening? So I feel like with my light language, it's like you were talking about, like light body surgery before, I feel like mine's becoming a little bit more fine-tuned, but it's a little bit scary because I don't quite, you know, like, I was going to ask you, what type of advice do you have for people who are getting all this information? Because I kind of am just sitting with it and I want to play with it, but I'm also feel like there's a bit of a responsibility and duty of care. But at the same time, I don't think it would come through if it wasn't in the highest alignment.
Yeah.
It's just something I know a lot of people with their gifts kind of, you kind of have to sit with it, I guess, and try and work out.
Well, I think for anyone who's either in light language or teaching or channeling, it's important to have some kind of clearing and connecting way of doing it before you do it. So, for example, grounding in the crystalline grid, connecting to the great central sun, this is the opening up the inner channel, connecting to your higher self, connecting to the oversoul, the monadic self, asking for all beings and guides working with you to be aligned with the oversoul, anyone not aligned to be released. You know, those kind of techniques. And then we're much clearer when we're getting the information, and we ask our higher self, please, you know, help connect us to the highest level of light language for the highest benefit of myself and others around, that kind of thing. Some channels are interfered with, some teachers are interfered with, and they're not even aware of it because they have no clearing process. They have no way of connecting up and down and opening them in a channel. I've trained with a couple of teachers. So one guy in particular, who was really good and really experienced in many, many ways. And I did learn a lot from him, but I considered him a bit of a gray magician because he just was not aware of he was doing both light and dark, you know. And one day he said, right, we're just going to channel this Egyptian blah energy. I'm just going to send it to you. And I said to him, what is this energy? He said, oh, well, I visited the British Library and I saw this manuscript, and we had a good feeling from it, so I'm just channeling that. And I'm like, but you've got no idea what it is. And I just thought, we should have, you know, the higher self is the gatekeeper, and we should have these guys say, you know, make sure the work is clear, you know, and that's the process of staying clear, staying aligned with the higher self and all the guides working with us and making sure they're of the highest, you know, connection. So we might even do a little training in some kind of quantum healing that helps us have a clearing process so we stay clear. And then, I mean, some people are naturally clear because they're pure-hearted, but it's good to have that extra, you know, am I, you know, going to the right place? And so a good friend of mine is a really good channel, and 70% of the time she's excellent, but 20 or 30% of the time she's not. And that's the difficulty. And the not, and I said to her, "What? How do you clear yourself?" "Well, I don't." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, fine." And so I have to be, if she's, she said, "I've got a message for you." So I have to be aware of, okay, is this the 70% light, or am I getting the thing I should just ignore?
Oh, this is what I get worried about, because I will channel in English as I'm doing it, and people always think, oh, always say to me, "Oh, you're psychic." I'm like, no, I don't like it when people say that. But it, that pressure concerns me too. And so sometimes I will stop doing that. But I never used to clear my energy field either until I started listening to a lot of you, and then I met some other people in my circle. So I just really think that's important to talk about, to do that, because you're right, you're getting someone's filtered version or interfered aspect sometimes. So I get a little bit paranoid about that.
Well, star seeds, I don't want to worry people, but it's just to be aware, star seeds can be interfered with. Because there are beings on the planet that don't like star seeds. They've been running a show for a while on the physical plane, on the astral planes as well, both. And so star seeds can be interfered with. And for example, a lot of people with mental health issues, hearing voices, are hearing voices. And those voices are not necessarily their own ego. Those voices are external entities interfering.
Yep.
You know, I know when I went through a dark night of the soul, I was hearing a voice that says, "Just kill yourself." And I knew enough to go, that voice is not mine. Yeah. You know, where's it coming from?
It's a program, it's an implanted, negative program.
Or it could be some entity coming to you saying, actually, you know, and so we need to stay clear. We need to know that there are beings on the astral planes which are not great and can come along and start interfering. And some channels are not channeling the higher light. Some channels are channeling just pure nonsense, I think. You know, when I read, I don't mean to be judgmental, but I think channels which come around with this gooey, sweet, "Lol, dearly beloved, we love you," you know, all of this, I'm a bit more wary, because I think in my experience, the kind of guides speak more directly than that. They don't need to do all this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they don't need to speak in a loving way. They will speak lovingly, but it will be a loving voice, not a gooey, sweet voice. That's my experience.
Yeah.
And so maybe there are gooey, sweet beings out there that do like to be channeled like that way, but I'm just a little bit more, I want to check this one out if it comes across gooey sweet, you know, because I found the best channels. One of the best channels I've come across was a guy called Seth, the Seth books. Okay. I don't know if you or your listeners have heard about Seth, but
I'm sure some have,
So Seth was a being in the 1960s that came through a woman called Jane Roberts in America. And this guy, you probably should check him out, because it's phenomenal, I think. I've read all of the Seth books, and they're beyond me, a lot of them. But if you go on Amazon, Jane Roberts or Seth, The Nature of Personal Reality, that's a brilliant one. They're talking about how reality is created, how we create reality. And a lot of, and Seth even spoke in the 60s to some quantum physicists, and they couldn't follow him. They said, "We've lost him," you know. So Seth is not with us anymore, but the books are. So there's The Nature of Mass Events, talking about how mass events are created for various reasons. And they're brilliant. The Nature of the Soul. Seth had what I think he had three statements which are very powerful. The self is multidimensional in nature. You're not limited in any way. You create your reality, and the present moment is the point of power. He repeat those three things a lot. And when I first came across Seth, I'm like, I don't know, what does it mean I'm multidimensional? I've got no idea. What does it mean? I kind of got the present point is my point of power, because people are obsessing about their past or anxious about the future. I could kind of got that one. You create your own reality. It took me years of really diving into that one, because I was really interested in this idea. Well, if we do, that's the most incredible thing I've ever heard.
And it's, you know, it's for me, like I'm like, but believing it is, you know, I get caught up on that. Like, and, you know, you listen to a lot of people like Abraham Hicks and Eckhart Tolle, and they all talk about the present moment and the power is in that present moment. I think, gosh, I spend so much time jumping back and forth. It's a work in progress.
I know. I mean, the mind does want to keep us busy and jumping here and there. But I think having a practice of staying in the present moment with breathing and coming to silence is good. Sitting under a tree is good. And just becoming aware of the mind and what the mind wants to do. It wants to jump around. I mean, Buddhist practice does this a lot. Then becoming aware of what they call the monkey mind, jumping around. And so training the mind. And for some people, it's easier than others. Some people, it's really difficult. For me, it was easier because somehow I kind of like the mind. Some people I've met, the mind is more a tyrant, that they really have to grab the reins, you know, but my mind's not really like that so much. It's has its thing, you know, and I have to kind of be aware of all the programs in it. But for magicians, we use the mind, you know. For people who are more aligned mystically, they're more aligned with the heart and they find the mind a bit more challenging. But I'm more in the magician camp. I mean, that's another way. I think we are both mystic and magician. Mm. We're both, like the mystic is about being, you know, who am I being? And the magician is, who am I becoming?
Then
you know,
creating.
These are the two. Yeah.
It's a nice, so we're both. Nice blend. Something I want to pick your brains about, and I don't know who else I can ask this question to, but I think as a starseed, you can be a bit of a sponge. Like, you know, you just love information and you're constantly absorbing and attracting it. But I sometimes find myself getting information or seeking it or being presented with it that is quite confusing. And I think there's just so much information out there. And something that has recently distressed me, and we don't have to talk about it, but the idea of reversals and like metatronic reversals and all, I don't know whether you know much about that or if you have any insights or thoughts on that. But
what is that metatronic reversal?
It's kind of where it's to do with misaligned or false coding. So like the flower of life and the Fibonacci sequence and all the things that we've led to believe that are meant to be spiritual are perhaps infiltrated and not of their original coded source. I don't know whether you've heard of that. And so people are like, you know, when you're talking to Archangel Michael, you know, are you giving your power away to just an entity? Make sure you're giving it away to the original source, not some like conscious harvesting machine. And I'm like, this just confuses me. And I've had a lot of star seeds talk to me about this. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know where to get information on that or accurate information. I think when you're a fresh young mind and a lot of younger people than me, there's just such a vastness of information, especially, you know, on social media.
Yeah.
It's that discernment.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah. How do we know what to digest? And
so people ask me actually this one in different ways a lot. Yep. And I've had a lot of comments on the YouTube channel about how do we know, you know, even archangels or agents of the Illuminati or, you know, all of this stuff.
Or reptilian agendas and misery
programs. Reptilian agendas or chakras are implants by the Illuminati. That was someone said that once. And I know that there are some teachers that have talked. I think Lisa Renee is one that's talked about Archangel Michael and Metatron, that there are, I mean, the angels are there, but there are also false light zones where people get diverted into
and fallen
other beings, fallen aspects.
Yeah.
This is where, and basically also within this whole zone is a lot of disinformation that creates a lot of fear.
Yes.
And I have had a lot of people almost attack me because they're so fearful. Or I've had someone say, I'll have a session with you, but you're not allowed to talk to any angel other than Archangel Michael. And I'm like, but coming from a place of fear, of course, puts people at a great disadvantage, because that's the problem. If someone gives you a bit of information and you're in fear about it, and it's like, who do I trust? Yeah. That creates a huge problem for starseeds. Mm. And we have to find the place that we do trust. And we have to find, you know, that within ourselves, the higher self, the guides, the higher beings, the oversoul, we have to find that connection in it that feels true and clear, that then we can look out and hear someone say something and we can go, that's a load of nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, for example, I've got good friends. I hope I don't upset people now, but I've got some good friends who totally believe in the flat earth theory. And I just see, are you completely mad? You know, hope that if anybody out there are flat earthers, you may get really upset about that. But I think there are some things out there that have been put out deliberately as misinformation.
To confuse us. I think it's hard enough.
And very intelligent people are believing it. You know, if you believe in a flat earth, you have to believe in a flat sun and a flat moon. And you have to believe eclipses are somehow weirdly worked out with these flat dimensions. And then what's underneath the earth and what is over the edge of the earth, you know, and if the earth is truly flat, surely cats would have pushed everything off the edge by now, you know, and all of these things, you know, I mean, I'm joking about that.
But. Yeah, but it's very, you know, and I do want to bring that up because it is over. Ascension is hard enough as it is, you know, like for a starseed, I think, you know, integrating, you're upgrading, you're purging, you're going through that, you're trying to work out your own stuff. And then you get sort of, I kind of think, oh, is this to test my discernment? Is it to rock me sideways? Is it some type of attack? So I think it is important to at least to people be aware of it, if nothing else.
So let's address it in a really grounded way for everyone.
Yeah.
That, let's imagine you're pretty centered and your intuition's pretty switched on. Your common sense is active. And let's say you're in a bar or it's somewhere and someone approaches you romantically. You know, let's say you're a woman and a guy approaches you. Hey, you know, I really like you. Blah, and they give you the chat. Mm-hmm. How do you know whether this person is someone that you want to connect with or not? So for a woman, let's say a woman would, I imagine, tune into her feelings about this guy. How do I feel about it? He sounds, you know, hey, I've got my Mercedes is outside and, you know, I can take you on a spin. And it all sounds all very nice. And he looks very nice, but you may get a feeling of something is off with this guy. Yeah. I ain't going to go in that car with this guy, you know. But how do you know? You trust your feelings. You trust your intuition. For a woman, you trust your intuition, surely, you know, and hopefully for a man as well, if the intuition is switched on. This is your inner compass that, you know, if someone offers you something, how do you know whether to say yes or no? It's the same in the spiritual world. It's the same if you come across a spiritual teacher. There's a lot of spiritual teachers that can talk the talk. They dress up in white and they have crystals swaying from them like Eiffel Towers and they look really good. But how do you know if they're any good or not? Because, you know, one of my favorite books was Lord of the Rings. I don't know if you started to like that kind of book.
Lord of the Rings. I love anything to do with magic, fantasy, wizards, all that type of stuff.
Yeah. So there's a moment in the book where Frodo meets Aragorn or Strider the Ranger in a bar. He's in an inn. Yeah. And the Hobbit's companions are kind of joking and talking too much. And this guy is in the corner smoking, looking at him. And Frodo gets a kind of weird sense from him. But he comes out with a statement of, he looks foul, but feels fair. Mm. And that's really interesting because, you know, there are a lot of beings that look fair, but feel off.
Yeah.
And so this is the thing we have to be aware of on the inner planes and on the physical plane. Mm. I've actually trained with a couple of grey magicians and I eventually realized they're grey magicians. I learned from them, but I had to really make sure I'm clear of any interference from them because they were interfering with me in different ways. So yes, we can learn from grey magicians. Yes, we on the inner planes, there are beings that will try and fool us. There are beings who will try and impersonate spiritual beings. They will look and sound sweet and light. But if you, in the old occult books, because, you know, people have been training in magic for years before, you know, like this period now. And so I've read some of these old books and they would say things, for example, if you're approached on the inner planes by a being, you would ask them questions, which are you of the highest light? Are you aligned with, if you're working with Christ consciousness, for example, or are you, and it's very hard for them to lie because their answers would be, would tell you immediately, or even the way, or even if they, the pauses or they back away a bit, or they shake a bit, their image might start, you might see who they really are. Or you can even ask, reveal yourself. Let's see the true self. And there are ways of checking out beings on the inner planes, you know, and it's not that we should be afraid of beings, but we should get a sense of peace with someone. We get a deep sense of peace with someone that feels really aligned with us, you know. Now, there's an adjunct to this that I have to say that star seeds are empaths. And they have to be careful about narcissists because narcissists know how to get underneath an empath's protection. They know, a narcissist will know, on the, this is, I'm talking about physical plane now, will know the weak point of an empath and will go for it. And then, and an empath might feel, I've met my soulmate.
Yeah.
But actually, they've met a narcissist who they should avoid at all costs. So this is a bit tricky, because if you meet a narcissist on the physical plane, you have to really tune into your feelings, because you may have a lot of mixed feelings. There may be a feeling of, oh, I really love this person, and there may be a sense of warning.
Yeah.
So like that you need to, there's usually both. Yeah.
Yeah.
And because a narcissist will evoke, they're so charming and they're so lovely and they're saying all the right things. But you should also listen to a little warning of,
yeah,
not this one. Be careful. Yeah. I've come unstuck a couple of times myself with this one, where I was like, oh, you know, I've met my, they're so wonderful and yeah, they get me. And then they really do get me, you know, yeah, bang,
that,
you know.
Yeah, it's that I very early on fell into that codependent narcissistic type of dynamic, and it took me a long time to recover from that. So yes, I think, yeah, I think tuning, and as you know, some very great practitioners always said to me, energy just doesn't lie.
Yeah. Energy doesn't lie. Ask to tune into the highest version of Michael, the true version of Michael. Ask to tune into the true version of Metatron. Ask. So I've been working with these energies now for about 20 odd years, you know, in, magically, shamanically, and you get a feel of, up, you know, when I call them, I feel uplifted or a great sense of expansion. A false light being will not do that.
That's right.
I've had,
yeah, I've had a few experiences where my light language, oh, and sometimes still, if it just sort of comes off into the shower and the bath, it seems to be where my light language likes to really come on. And there's been a few times where it's left me feeling very distressed. And that's when I know that it is, you know, that I've had some sort of trickster energies or sort of lower vibrational activities. And it really rattled me in a, but I, you know, once I called in back my higher aspects of my team and was able to clear it, it was fine. But until it kind of happens to you, I guess it's hard to know, because you are such an open vessel and a bit of a magnet, I think, for those experiences to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, so there's beings working, make sure we're working the highest version of those beings. But we must make sure we're working with the highest version of us ourselves first. And when we've got that, then it becomes a lot easier. That our intuition is switched on. If we work with symbols, you know, we work with flower of life, and we get, this is really powerful, useful, expansive, use it. You know, I know, for example, I use the 5D chakra system, but you know, that in the idea of moving 3D to 5D, chakras move from cones to spheres. But I had someone ask me this the other day, but what about the 3D system? Can we use it? Yes, you can use it. You can use the old system and it still works fine. You can use the base chakra as a cone pointing downwards, it's red, or you can use the 5D system. You can still use the old systems. You can still use symbols powerfully, like the Ankh is a powerful symbol. There are various symbols you can use, some which will be powerful for you and some maybe not. It depends on your incarnational cycle. So just ask your higher self, for what symbol should I use for? So for example, I use different symbols for the angels, but really I think I'm going to start encouraging people to use their own symbols, because we've built this group field, but you know, people might have a different symbol for Raphael and that's fine, you know, and I'm going to start encouraging people to find their own symbols now. I've been doing it to get people kind of started, you know, here's the caduceus, here's the flaming sword, here's the chalice. And all of them are symbols which have been used for a long time. They're not new to me. But yeah, if you've got your own symbol, symbols are really powerful things and they're really personal. That your higher self may give you a symbol that represents expanding your light language, for example, and I might ask for a symbol to expand my light, not that I do light language, but to expand mine, I'll get a completely different one. Yeah. It can be very personal. So, you know, there are universal symbols we can use, but they're very personal ones as well. So if you're not sure of a symbol, ask your higher self to upgrade it and give you a new one.
Yeah. That's a great
thing. That's the
best
way to
do it. Yeah. I think, yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's a great
thing. Rather than go into fear. Oh my God, there's a, Someone's talking about Michael, or there's
a reptilian program.
Something there, yeah.
And then, because I tailspin not that long ago. I just had this huge influx of information. I was like, oh my God, I don't know what's happening.
And I think one symbol that I would say people to be careful of is the crucified Christ, because that is a reptilian symbol, I would say.
Okay.
The crucified Christ is like, almost like, I think Lisa Renee talks about this and I agree with her. It's like your higher self, the higher aspect of yourself being crucified. It's really not a good symbol. Mm. But the symbol of the cross, the Celtic cross, the equilateral cross is an ancient symbol, which is very powerful. But just focusing on the crucified Christ is not a good one. So if anyone is in the Christian tradition, focus on the laughing Christ. There's images on Google. You can find the laughing Christ, or the radiant, or the risen Christ, or something. Yeah. Don't worry about the crucified Christ. You know, that's not a good symbol. And the church itself has been hacked into by reptilian forces.
Yeah,
a long time ago. So you have to be careful of any of those symbologies or rituals. Really, eating the blood of Christ, or drinking the blood and eating the body of Christ. That's a reptilian's.
And I think ritual. That's where a lot of the angelic infiltration, a lot of people in the church context of like Michael and Raphael, they in that aspect, I think, is where people get a little bit unstuck, rather than when we're talking about them in their true self, like through that church dynamic. Great, thank you so much for that. I think that will be incredibly helpful to people. I was going to ask, are there any since we're sort of talking about magician energy, which always makes me think of the violet flame as like a very useful, I just wanted to know, are there any other metaphysical, like what could star seeds, not just necessarily star seeds, but what are some good things to work with if you're getting experimental? Because I think the violet flame is a fantastic thing to work with. And again, misconceptions there, a lot of star seeds, like, oh, do you have to carry it? Do you have to have it in order to do it? I was like, no, I don't think so. I think anyone can work with the violet flame, but I think it's this inquisitive nature of starseeds to constantly like, you know, can I, is there permission? So I just wanted to know what your thoughts were.
Anyone can work with it. With the violet flame, it's a purging fire. So you don't want to be standing in it all day long.
No, it's you like, really don't.
It's like, have a shower in the morning, but don't stay in the shower all day long.
It's got things shower to do, people.
Get out.
Yeah.
There are other flames which you can invoke. And I think they're pretty extensive. You know, I like the diamond white flame, which is quite a powerful one.
That one?
Yeah. That's quite a powerful one. But there are all kinds of energies we can call upon. There are various rays. I'm just trying to think what would be a good one to suggest. But I do like, personally, the grids I work with a lot with is the crystalline grid of the earth, the diamond white crystalline grid of the earth, which is very grounding. And a lot of star seeds, one of the problems for star seeds is they come in and they go, I don't want to be here.
Yes.
Yeah, it sounded like a good idea at the time, but now I don't want to be here. But connecting to the 5D crystalline grid, not the old grid of the earth, but the crystalline grid, is really a way of being in the body and going, oh, I can be in the body. I feel safe in the body. A lot of star seeds don't actually feel safe in the body, because it's not been safe to be in the body. You know, they may have been hung, killed, burned, you know, for being too magical. So we're a bit wary.
Just saying, and some of us.
The other one is the grid, the essential grid from the great central sun, the rays from the sun. And because our bodies are transforming into different energy. And it's really, I'm finding even my body's craving light. Even in terms of food, our diet changes, because the body doesn't just want lots of matter. It wants light. And so meditating on the sun, or meditating on the inner planes on light in all cells of the body, helps to feed the body, because our body needs more light. In 3D, we don't need more light. But as we're emerging and transforming, we need more light. So I'm finding I can't eat as much now, actually. But I'm absorbing light, and eventually further, much, much further down the line, we'll be taking mostly light and far less matter. Yeah. You know, that's a long way away. Yeah. That's when our bodies really go into higher.
So they're just like green chlorophyll. And I mean, I have visions of that, like Recall of Home, and it's basically just kind of greens and water. Like I was like, oh, boring, lettuce. That's the kind of what it seems to be. Mm.
But no washing up, no shopping. You know, it's wonderful.
No, none of that. I've got a few friends that joke that they just came back to Earth to have, you know, like Coca-Cola and steaks and things. I'm like,
no,
I did not sign up for this. I think that's a good point too, because there is a lot of wanting to opt out energy, and I've been through that too. Like, and it still comes up, unfortunately, that I don't want to be here. This is too hard. I think giving people these tools, because I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Like, I feel like out of the 7 days of the week, it's like, you know, half of them are probably purging, processing, resting. And I've been really thankful for the COVID period, because I feel like my team were just like, great, now we've got all this time to just like do all these, you know, because I'd be knocked, but today I was knocked out for 15 minutes, just completely wiped. It's like, if I had my desk job again in media, I wouldn't be out of function. So
I know every night I wake up, not every night, but often exhausted, like, what am I doing in the night? I'm supposed to be resting.
Well, that's my astral adventures, as I like to call it, my galactic adventures. When I've had a few
sometimes. Yeah, go on.
I know. I just when I'm like violently coming back into my body, like as if I've just been rolling down a mountain. It's just like whoomp, and I feel wow, and my hips and everything hurt the next day.
I know. Yeah. Crash landing.
Yeah.
Crash landing.
Yeah. I'm like, what? It's not that's good. Just supposed to be my restful time. So,
I mean, sometimes we have dreams which are very healing and restful, and that happens in between here and there. I've had actually the second dream of Biden was like that, very healing. But I think there's a planetary healing going on right now. There's a shift up. A shift in the dark forces, a shift in the light forces going on right now, because I think next year is going to be such an incredible year. And actually, I must say, I think most starseeds also would agree with me that social distancing is not a bad thing. We quite like social distancing.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, I'm so bored. Like, I've got so much just in my head. I'm like, there's so much stuff to process. And I've been loving it. I've got like a whole heap of like Arcturian books that I kind of wanted and I've just been nerding out on all the things that I wanted to do, and I've been doing my light language art and really trying to love it. I like to spend, and we need to spend a lot of time by ourselves. I do.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm social to a point, but then I'm like, I need to integrate, and I need to process. And it takes me a while to process. Like, yeah, I don't know whether that will shift, but it's...
It's different for different people, but a lot of starseeds may take time. There is an interesting system called human design. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah.
And that might be worth checking out. I found it useful because, you know, especially if you're in the human design terms, a projector. I'm a generator, so I can generate energy. My partner's a projector. So, and they give you, there's all kinds of, they give you like you're a projector 1-5 or a generator 2-4. And so that can give you some idea. And so I've had a few readings with that, and it's been very useful to know. I take time in processing emotionally, especially things. I can't have an immediate processing. So if someone says something or does something, it may take a day for me to go, oh, I'm not sure I really like that, you know, or, you know, to be able to articulate it. I need time. Some star seeds are quicker, but I know I'm a slower with my emotional responses.
I've just noticed too, the more I've been shifting, and I don't really like this aspect of it, I just cry an awful lot. That seems to be how I process everything and anything, even if it's good, it's bad, in between. It's just, it must be some type of like cellular cleanse, I think, to like just keep crying. Yeah. And it's like, surely there's got to be another, and I have begged, like I've been on the ground in like hysterics being, please, please, there's got to be another, because I'm exhausted, like I'm tired and I'm dehydrated and I get a headache. And so I've got a couple of other sort of starseedy people who go through that extreme purification. And then it's like, it's just a never ending layer. Like it's just a never ending story of just keeps going and going. And I think that can get a little bit overwhelming and can make us a little bit despondent, because sometimes you feel like you're not making any progress. But then when I have bliss, it's bliss. And then I feel, if you go back into sort of a mental paradigm, it can feel a bit bipolar, like the highs and the lows of like transmuting, purging, and then like whoosh, I've got all this energy and all this light, and I'm like activated and like, you know, on cloud nine.
Yeah I mean, I guess for you and anyone like that, you must make sure that you're not holding emotional energy for anybody else, like mother, father, family, siblings, bloodlines, and just do a purging of other people's emotional energy in your field. So you know that you're only processing your own stuff. I mean, you may be, but just that's just a thought really, just to make sure, because we can so easily pick up other people's emotions.
Yeah, and you know? I think it's something, like I said, you know, it's a refining process, and I still don't think I do have a grip on that yet. And so I think that's You know, we just got to keep experimenting around with, is this, whose is this? And I get stuck when I ask myself that question, like, is this mine? Is this yours? Is this the cat's? Whose is this? Yeah, like, I don't know. What's happening? I feel like I'm a little bit of a sponge sometimes. So,
I think we have to get our own baseline. This is me. This is how I feel most of the time. Yep. This is me being okay. And then if I'm off that baseline, so what's this then? Has something triggered me? Have I picked up something? Is something interfering with me? I mean, I use pendulums a lot because I often ask, am I being interfered with? Am I clear? What is it? Who is it? Where is it coming from? and it gets a bit like that. I have to become a good researcher. What's this? What's happening now? I know almost every day something's twanging and going on now. The more you go down the path, the more intense it gets, and the more you do get your old layers get thrown up. And I'm like, I thought I was going to be heading for bliss every day, but no, I'm all more processing. Oh God, So I'm definitely not in the everyday bliss. I am processing and clearing, and that's why I'm putting out all the stuff. You know, it's for me. I do it myself, and I think if it's good for me, other people will find it helpful.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, we always say, we take turns. We do different shifts, and when I'm up, someone else might not be, and that's how we help each other, I guess, to maintain that balance and to help everyone, because ultimately we want better things and higher vibes, and we'll get there. Sometimes it just doesn't feel. I always call it like the swamps of sadness. I don't know if you've seen the Never Ending Story, where they're like just he's just like, oh, I feel like Artex. I'm like, come on, Jen. Right. It's going to get to that. And I think a lot of I want to encourage people to speak transparently about it, because sometimes it can be a little bit sugar-coated, the starseed journey and process, and it is wonderful and amazing. It's an important role, but there's a very physical aspect of it, of integrating, and a mental aspect too.
Yeah. And one thing that comes up for starseeds, which may, I don't know if you're touching upon it, is old stories of heartbreak or betrayal in the bloodlines.
Yes.
Or even in other lifetimes that we're carrying, and we need to release those stories. We don't need to have the story of heartbreak, because in our ancestors there have been lots of heartbreak. I couldn't marry who I wanted to marry, and all this kind of heartbreak stuff. We need to be not holding heartbreak for the bloodline. We need to release it so it helps clear the bloodline. Heartbreak is a big one on the bloodline that we need to clear.
And it's so deep, and it's definitely something. And then God forbid you involve a twin flame dynamic into it as well, that complicates things.
Oh, that's a whole difference. Yeah, that's a whole other area, isn't it?
I'm just like, whatever, I'm just this big mishmash of like energetic, energetic soup I am, I think.
I guess we all are a bit like that.
Yeah, exactly. But I wanted to thank you so much. I mean, I could just keep talking about it forever, but I really encourage people, we will put all your details below. And if any of this is resonating, I really encourage you to look at Steve's work, because it's hard to find people who have our best interests at heart, I guess. It can be a little bit of a little bit tricky to navigate out there. So this is why I wanted to do this and connect people with you, so that they have a balance point and can use some discernment of where to go, because it's a bit of a jungle out there.
Well, thanks for having me. And of course, everything I've said is my own personal experience, and it may resonate, may not resonate. What does resonate, great. What doesn't, just put it one side.
Exactly. It might resonate, down the track. And if not, you just keep going on your own. That's what I say too, that we can only speak from our own personal experiences. And hopefully some of this, obviously, generalizations and can help people. But what I want to ask you before we leave is, how did your sock obsession come about? I really enjoy. I mean, I'm going to send you some socks, Australian socks, but I'm curious. Yeah, we got on.
Showing my on my galactic, whatever it is.
Yeah, I love it.
So, well, some time ago, I interview people myself here and there, and some time ago, I met this. I'd interviewed him, and I met this guy for tea in London, and he said, "Oh, you are a real person." And I thought, such a strange comment, but I realized that a lot of my posts are very impersonal. It's very much about the light, the galactic, the this. So I decided to put some personal stuff so people know, oh, I am a person. And then one day I thought, but I'm into quirky socks. Why don't I? Instagram was the main, I'm on Instagram mostly, yeah. But I do it on Facebook a bit. So I thought, well, let's take a quirky sock picture. So, and then people responded to it. And I thought, I love, so we got into, people started sending me their sock, their children's sock pictures. And I thought, this is cool. And so I've got a whole select collection of socks. So I buy new socks to, you know, so I've got a growing selection of socks. I don't know where I'm going to put all these socks, you know. So, and it's part of, you know, I am a real person. I have got feet and I like socks, you know. I'm a bit quirky.
Keeps you grounded.
Your feet. Keeps you grounded, you know, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, do you have any Australian animal socks in your collection?
No, I've got dolphin. I don't know if
you don't have like dolphin. Koalas or kangaroo socks, do you?
No, I'll have to get some.
Yes, you will. I can hook you up with those. But
if you can source me some, yeah, I'll get
absolutely,
them.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love a good sock as well. So
yeah.
Can you let everyone know, I will put your details below, but where can people find you? So obviously Instagram, you're on there.
So Instagram, I think, I'm thesoulmatrix.com. Mm-hmm. That's my website. On YouTube, you'll find me on Steve Nobel. I've got a kind of gold tree on a red background. And on Instagram, I am Steve Nobel 101. I've got a kind of golden Metatronic QB thing on where it's, you can find me on Insight Timer as I think Steve Nobel is again. I've got a lot of Steve Anael Nobel, my middle name, A-H-N-A-E-L. Steve Anael Nobel, you'll find me there on Insight Timer. I've got about 20,000 followers on Insight Timer. Oh, anybody wow. interested in meditations, do check out Insight Timer. It's great. It's an app.
I recently found out about that through a couple of my friends that put their light language stuff on there. And it's a great resource. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. So, yeah, and that's how you'll find me. I'm on Twitter, The Soul Matrix. I'm on SoundCloud, The Soul Matrix. But if you go to my website, you'll find links to everything, really. I've got a social media site on my website, which is, if you go to my website, you'll find a link to join the social media site. And there's about 6,000 starseeds on there posting. So if you don't like Big Brother, Facebook, or all these kind of things, go there and join and feel free. I mean, I only censor people if they're rude or aggressive, you know, otherwise you can put what you like.
Yeah. And also you're doing a lot for the starseeds. Don't you have like a platform? Isn't there like a group? Like webinars and things that you're doing?
Yeah, on my website, I do regular webinars for starseeds. The next one coming up is next week, I think. Let's have a look. It's next week on spiritual coaching, I think, is the one I'm doing.
Yeah, I'm just anyone who's resonating with this. I mean, you know, it could be parents who are dealing with, you know, different frequency children as well. Like it's beneficial. I don't think it's just limited to starseeds, but it really is a fantastic community. You know, let's be honest, we need it. So.
Yeah,
I really encourage people to go there.
And then I've got on later in November a multidimensional clearing for starseeds. That's quite good for starseeds, clearing all layers of their being. So yeah, check all that out. See if anyone. And it's quite reasonable. It's not super expensive. Those ones. Yeah. I'm not the $10,000 end of the market.
Thank God that you're not. Yeah, I did go when I first started. I ended up in Sedona, like when I was sort of guided to go there and just had a, and I was such a, like, you know, Bambi in the headlights and just so vulnerable, so open, so trusting. And I got sucked into a lot of things. So I think, you know, it's good to, if I can steer people to the right sort of path and it doesn't break their bank. And let's be honest, not everyone's working and doing all those things now. I think that's a useful tool that we can point people into the less expensive end of the spectrum.
You don't have to spend $10,000 to ascend, you know.
No, that is a fun matrix trap.
yeah,
cool. Thank you so very much again for your time. And yeah, I look forward to seeing what you put out next.
Thanks, Jen.
Cool, thank you.